This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
And on the show today, we've been asking you, does social media help or hurt in the battle against COVID-19? Remember, you can get in touch on WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter, Instagram, it's at BFM Radio. But first, an update from KLCI.
Yes, so most markets in the region are, well, they're kind of mixed. It's half and half. But the FBM KLCI at break is up 0.77% at 1,334 points. Looking at some of the more active counters just before break, Bumi Armada, Sapura Energy, Valesto Energy, Hibiscus Petroleum, Chaya Mata Sarawak, and you know, most of them on the screen I'm looking at from like number 1 all the way to number 25, they're all in the green, so mostly gainers among the more active counters. And a quick look at currencies, we are at 4.35 against the US dollar, we're at 3.00 against the Sing dollar, and quick look at Aussie dollar, 2.58. So yeah, one Sing dollar is worth 3 ringgit right now. Wow. It's been a while since we've been there. Yeah.
Yeah. Not too bad.
Yeah.
At least there are some silver linings despite this, you know, period of uncertainty. Mm. Anyways, also, I think, you know, we also need to remind ourselves of the dangers of working from home. But before we go into the story, do we have any more messages? No? All right. But we do have one on social media when we're asking you about, you know, social media. Does it help or hurt in the battle against COVID-19? And on Twitter, Motos2711 says, as and when fake news popping up like wild mushrooms with the addition of trolls, it's better to actually off from any social media. And I guess it's pretty true in that sense, right?
And also looking at Insta story, we have Janji here who says, read memes to help with depression. Yeah, we've got some really good content, really good meme content online as well. And Leon just says, yes, it does. Social media does help.
You know, I've seen a lot of memes. I think my favorite one so far is someone has redesigned the MRT map that you normally see in the train stations, but instead of putting the names of the train stations as the map, they actually use locations of your house instead.
So, oh, yes.
You know, so the entire MRT system is actually your living room, and then the next station is your bathroom, the next station is your balcony, the next station is your kitchen. So
cute.
I think that's pretty cute. That's a clever way of, you know, using your creativity during the, you know, MCO period. Anyways, one of the factors that you really got to consider when working from home is, I guess, the security aspect. Now, I'm sure many of you are, you know, going to be going through some IT difficulties or, you know, IT challenges during this period of time. And, you know, you don't have your IT support on call or even hands-on during these difficult periods. And cyber criminals are actually out to play. At this point of time, I think, you know, people have been reporting that the amount of spread of cybersecurity activities have increased.
And I always imagine these cyber security criminals, right? Security cyber criminals are always in the, you know, dark room and everything.
And
they're so used to social distancing. Anyway,
that's what Hollywood has, you know, done to us, right? Yeah. But also, you know, at the top of the show, Jeff, you mentioned, like, just as important as it is for us to wash our hands, like, physical hygiene. Yeah. It's also cyber hygiene. And I was just thinking here, sitting in the corner here thinking, cyber hygiene, what is that? So yeah, please explain.
Yeah, so you know, I got on the call with a couple of cybersecurity experts to really just help us to understand what exactly is cyber hygiene. First up, I spoke to Aaron Bugal, the global solutions engineer at Sophos, and I asked Aaron, you know, businesses are shifting to using more online tools to work from home. Does this actually present a new security risk for them?
It does. I mean, it comes down to a big psychological shift. Like, traditionally, when we get home from work, we're, you know, quite relaxed and we sort of take off the business attire and get into some comfortable clothes. So the danger that I see here is a lot of people having that same relaxed mindset when they're continuing their job at home using company resources. And if they are faced with, say, a new cyber attack or some form of phishing attack that lands in even their personal inboxes, they're going to not think twice about it, and this could lead to potential cyber disaster for that person, their devices, and also potentially the organisation that they're working from home for.
So, Aaron, are we ready for this? Do you think businesses are actually ready to make this shift, especially with how, you know, quickly they had to adapt to this?
I don't know any organization who would want to move this fast in shifting their entire workforce out of their traditional four walls and a roof type of businesses to the home network. Usually planning and a lot of testing and feedback from users make for a really good way to do something along these lines. But in the past week alone, we've seen hundreds of organizations conduct this shift almost on a need necessity basis because of the whole threat to the health and safety of individuals. Some organizations are prepared, but there's far many more that are just not prepared. They don't have any form of business continuity planning in place. And losing a physical office is not something that a lot of people have thought would happen to them. And it's caught a lot of people out. So not having remote access, not having access to resources, even equipment to work, is proving very difficult for a lot of organizations right now.
What about the risk of hackers and also breaches? Is there a risk that this could potentially make businesses more vulnerable?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, the sheer curiosity that us as humans have when it comes to wanting to know and gain a lot more information on what we're sort of seeing as a global pandemic, it's really going to be capitalized on by the hackers. As I said before, yes, we've seen a big increase in phishing campaigns that are using COVID-19. What's most concerning to the organization is that the cyber criminals are now targeting a lot of personal email addresses like Gmail and Yahoo and various internet service providers, steering clear of the corporate filters and going straight to the individuals. And it comes down to that being socially relaxed in a home setting. That could lead to disaster because the user might actually want to know where a hotspot for a COVID infection is near them and click on an interactive map. And that, as I said, could lead to some form of phishing campaign and, you know, typically ransomware at the end of it. So let's just be hypersensitive of anything that comes at us in an unsolicited fashion to be very vigilant of what we click on.
Okay. So for my sake, at least, Aaron, can we just start with the basics? You know, what are the practical security guides for anyone exploring this working from home situation?
Well, getting back to basics, I mean, the governments in various countries are telling us to wash our hands and be as hygienic as possible. I think as individuals, we need to take a very strong stance of that same behaviour to our digital cyber life as well. So when it comes to working from home, if you're using, you know, a corporate asset, great. But if you're using your own equipment at home, make sure it's updated. Make sure it's patched and running the latest operating system and application updates. We want to have that same basic hygiene for the systems that we use to conduct our business on our home network, inclusive of all the other devices that are on our network. I mean, we see far too many things attributed to missing patches of operating systems and applications that are out of date that are allowing things like ransomware to come into businesses. So if we can all just take a minute to ensure that our devices are updated and secured, we're going to sort of weather this cyber storm quite well.
Aaron, what about the deeper technical issues, the VPNs and firewalls? Because, you know, many won't actually have their IT staff at hand to help out.
Yeah, you're right. And this comes back to that business continuity planning that a lot of people don't have in place. But the governments, and I know the Malaysian government, have put out some really good cyber resources to cope with working from home. So I know that MyCert, the Malaysian Computer Emergency Response Team, they have put out a really good set of guides on what you should be doing when you're working from home to ensure it's secure. Like, as I said, running security software, ensuring your systems are up to date. But when it comes to VPNs, they do make some recommendations as well. But turn to your peers, turn to your community. You know, you might have competitors in a business sense, but we're all trying to work together as a race to ensure that we can get past this COVID-19 situation. So ask for help where it comes to in the places that you might not expect it the most. Online community forums, the government is a great example, but absolutely there is a lot of resources out there to help you get up to speed and get everybody working from home in a secure fashion.
With that in mind, are there some basic etiquette for those working from home that you can share?
So for me, working from home, that's almost a natural thing to what I do. The most important thing to me is to keep a schedule. Get up in the morning and get ready like you would normally do. This is going to help you get into that mindset of working so you don't sort of start to blend home life and work life together. And it's quite important to keep that work and business and home life kind of separated, right? So, you know, making sure that you sort of create a schedule when your phone stops the notifications at night. But also, because we're now isolated from people, is we want to make sure that if we're going to be using other forms of communications like email a lot more, is just to choose your words wisely. For me, using email is an absolute necessity because of time zone differences. So if I can use a tone that conveys the best possible outcome for my communication that I'm choosing to do, it's going to help not cause a disturbance some the next day. And also just to be a lot more cautious of what you're doing online. If you are using your home computer to access work content, it's just to ensure that you don't get lazy with what you're doing and evaluate what you're clicking on. Because as I said, there are a lot more cyber criminals using COVID-19 as a lure these days.
That was Aaron Bugal, the Global Solutions Engineer at Sophos, talking about working from home, a playground for cybercriminals. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion with Joanne Wong from Logrhythm. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Blues, folk, metal. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back, and we're going to jump straight into our conversations about working from home. It's a playground for cyber criminals. I also spoke to Joanne Wong of Logrhythm. Joanne, COVID-19 is actually changing the way we work. What impacts do working remotely have on the security of businesses and individuals?
So while working remotely is beneficial in slowing the spread of the virus, businesses need to be mindful of potential cyber risks associated with external access to their network. Specifically, remote work may mean that employees will be using their own home Wi-Fi networks to access company servers and data. This poses an increased vulnerability to cyber threats, as oftentimes such home or even public networks are less secure. So every time an employee connects to their corporate network from home, they're potentially creating possible access points for hackers to launch and exploit, increasing the susceptibility to attacks. So remote work may also lead to an unmanageable data sprawl, as employees may transfer data through potentially unauthorized physical devices and cloud services. And these services, which fall outside the organization's audit, increases the risk of data theft or loss. So furthermore, situation can be exacerbated by the probability that technology and security staff are strained. Right. So due to increased workloads and their own concern for personal safety, so this will leave organizations more susceptible to attacks, as mentioned, and these trained staff may fall behind on critical patching and maintenance, leaving networks exposed to potential intrusions. And attackers may exploit this delay to find and penetrate vulnerable networks. So, and this is there's an increased risk of falling victim to COVID-19 themed attacks launched by cyber criminals.
So, Joanne, then how is your organization dealing with the rise of these challenges as businesses are facing at the moment?
So, the health and safety of our employees and their families is of utmost importance. So, that's top priority. And we have mandated that all our employees across the globe work virtually from home. And during this time, our managers are asked to provide daily updates to their teams as we continue to reassess and determine the best course of action as the situation develops. So we also continually remind our employees of the best practices that they can adopt in order to thwart phishing attempts. So threat actors are increasingly leveraging hottest news as part of their campaigns. So in just 4 days, we have actually seen almost 1,400 emails with subject lines that included a variant of coronavirus or COVID-19. So in addition to that, being more vigilant to identify phishing emails, we also encourage our employees to protect their Office 365 environment, which is what we use. Office 365 has a number of helpful security features that can thwart phishing attacks, such as enabling rule that blocks any email which display the name that doesn't match the domain address. So employing such rule like this means that any email with a display name and domain address that doesn't match never make it to the recipient's inbox, therefore stopping a phishing attack even before it has a chance to cause damage.
So are you saying that cyber criminals are using terms like COVID-19 and coronavirus in their attacks?
Absolutely, yes. And we're starting to see a whole list. In fact, Forbes has, it's Blackstone Law Group based out of New York, has actually found thousands of websites, new websites, springing up daily. So we get 1,000 every day that has COVID-19 or coronavirus in the domain.
Since most individuals are now working from home, what should they look out for in order to minimize the risk of being attacked?
Okay, so one of the means that cyber criminals are leveraging to conduct malicious cyber activities are through channels such as emails or direct messages, WhatsApp, text, Telegram. So through these means, cyber criminals entice users to open malicious attachments by offering more information related to COVID-19 situation, for instance. So the malicious files in these emails or messages are usually disguised as links, PDF files, MP4, docs, with the link or file names that are associated with COVID-19 or the coronavirus. So this may include information on how to protect themselves from the virus or updates on the threats or even COVID-19 detection procedures, right? Symptoms, for example. So these files, when open, can be extremely harmful to one's computers, as the files could host a range of threats from Trojans to worms capable of destroying, blocking, or even modifying data. So we encourage users to always look out for scam tip-offs, including receiving an email from a company that you have no absolute association with, messages that are not addressed directly to you, or users' bad grammar or spelling, and lastly, emails asking specifically for your personal information, including passwords.
And Joanne, for organizations that had to resort to working from home, how do you think they can better support their employees?
So it's definitely a two-way street. It takes two hands to clap. So you need both the employers and the employees to play a part. As far as the users are concerned, they should be extra vigilant in opening emails or messages from unknown senders. As the best practice, they should not open links or attachments from unsolicited emails. And if necessary, users might want to consider calling the sender to confirm the validity of the message. Other questions that might come in handy when assessing if an email is legitimate would be, were you expecting the email in the first place? If not, then this alone should raise suspicion. Is the message from a recognized or known domain or sender? And lastly, was the email sent or received during normal business hours? Because emails that are sent at strange times or late hour could be a sure sign that it is from an untrustworthy source, right? So it's important to make sure that users keep themselves up to date with the latest information about the virus or COVID-19 through trusted sources such as government websites and all media channels. Now, from an organization perspective, as they explore long-term remote working arrangements, I think they should ensure that the security of their IT systems is adequately robust. And this can be done by testing the capacity of remote access solutions, their security systems that enable remote access, as well as ensuring that business continuity plans also include security considerations. Remote working, as we all know, places an increased reliance on access to file sharing and collaboration tools. So companies can support their employees by providing them with sanctioned services and applications wherever possible so that employees, you know, don't go out on their own and pick and download the first thing that shows up in their Google search.
That was Joanne Wong from LogRhythm. And also, you know, earlier on, we also heard Aaron Bogal, the Global Solutions Engineer at Sophos. Thank you so much for those two cybersecurity experts talking about working from home. It's a playground for cyber criminals. So at least, you know, we can also practice some cyber hygiene as we go through the movement control order. Anyways, we have to wrap up today's show. Earlier on, we spoke about
the infodemic that is the coronavirus. And, you know, if social media is a friend or a in our battle against COVID-19.
And coming up is the Breakfast Grill replay. Remember, if you missed any parts of the show, you can download the podcast on bfm.my or the BFM app. My name is Jasanu, together with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.